The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, as I'm repeating what I've said the first few days, I understand consciousness or awareness, I use the words more or less synonymously, as in the sense people have that it's a thing, that we have this thing called consciousness, whatever that might be, kind of a something that's always there, maybe something that has some kind of united feeling or whole feeling. People talk about consciousness that as a thing. To the degree to which it is a thing, it's a gestalt. It's a combination of many different things integrated together, many different biological, physiological, mental, cognitive faculties kind of working together in a whole, and without necessarily our choice or our direction for how it's be done. And the holistic working of it all can make it feel like there is such a thing as consciousness, which is its own thing. With the idea that some people have the idea when everything else disappears, what always will remain is some kind of pristine consciousness. I don't think that's the idea of early Buddhism, but the idea that what we call consciousness, the idea we have of it, is a sum total of all these different attentional faculties we have and cognitive functionings that we have, I think is a very rich idea, and is conducive to putting greater value in our capacity to be aware, to be attentive, because the whole attentional system works better when it's kind of all being known, or there's space for it all to be there. There's, if we're caught up in preoccupations, it's like we almost limit how much space there is in the mind or how much free RAM there is in the mind for processing and working of all the other things that can be going on. And sometimes even we reach the limit of how much our active memory can handle. And so we get stressed and things begin kind of breaking down in the kind of psychological, biological system. Something as simple as being so busy with work and activities and doing things that we forget to drink. And even though their body has signals that'll tell you you're thirsty, they're overridden by the intensity of focus on something. And so that's true with many things in our life, that if we're too focused or too preoccupied, we're not going to avail ourselves or notice and allow to function all the rich systems of attention and data gathering and processing that exists within us. So one of those is the capacity to feel pleasure and pain. These are very important parts of life. Without this, our life would probably not really work. People who don't feel pain sometimes will damage themselves tremendously because they don't get the signal that they should put their hand off the hot stove, or that they should stop sawing into their fingers when they're actually trying to saw the bread or the vegetables. The idea that pain, there are a few people in the world apparently can't feel pain. And imagine there's people who can't feel pleasure. And that's unfortunate just for the pleasure's sake, but pleasure is the vehicle in which other information is coming to us. And other systems within us begin operating. And as I said before, I think in Buddhism, where there's a very strong mindfulness practice, strong emphasis on being present for the pleasant and pleasure of our experience, that's a very valuable exercise to do. It's very valuable to tune into it and develop equanimity to it. But it's also valuable because If we have equanimity and allow the pleasure and pain to be there, we might also start appreciating that it's part of a. It's not just kind of mechanistic pleasure and pain. It's it's the kind of visible or the felt part of a bigger system of human functioning going on behind that or just part of it. So something simple as a human touch. Human touch can feel pleasant, and that's nice that it's pleasant, but there can be so much can happen physiologically and psychologically with physical touch if it's pleasant, that it can be reassuring, it can be nurturing, touching a child or holding a baby, holding a preemie is necessary for them to really be able to mature the whole system of a premature baby. And so this idea of touch supports the growth and the development of some of human beings as they grow up as children. Touch is valuable for our sense of safety, a sense of social connection, a sense of nourishment inside. And so the pleasure of social touch is fantastic. There's the pleasures then of sexual touch, and that can also be wonderful, but sex, that has a very different mechanism maybe, or other things going on involved there too. And a sexual touch, the pleasure there is so clearly connected to so much more than just the place that's being touched. It's part of a bigger system and hormones and all kinds of things going on. Aesthetic pleasure, where does that come from? And what are all the systems that are operating when we see something really beautiful in nature, or we see beautiful art or something? The sense of satisfaction, inspiration you might feel, then the inspiration might feel very pleasant. That pleasure is more than just some simple pleasure. There's probably all kinds of processes within us that have been activated. And apparently there are many pleasure centers in the brain. And so just pleasure is not just, you know, physical pleasure or the sensations, the sensing itself being pleasant. It's a process in the brain. And so to allow ourselves to have simple pleasures and not deny them can be very helpful for this integrated awareness, full awareness that we're trying to develop in mindfulness. And as that gets developed, it also then, hopefully, develops our capacity to be with pain. That we're not holding on to pleasure or expecting it to be there all the time, but we're also learning a non-reactive way of being with all things, because pain, too, is an important system for us. And what I've learned through mindfulness practice is that I've learned to pay careful attention to pain when it arises. Because part of the function of pain sometimes, it's a danger signal. And sometimes I pay attention, and if I could feel that there's a little bit of a signal of danger in the pain itself, and I can't specify how that is or how I know, but sometimes it's clear there's a danger, something's about to go wrong or bad, and other times it feels like, okay, this pain is okay, it's, you know, who knows, I injured myself, the injury is over, but now it's healing, and now there's pain that's just there, that's left over, that needs to be there until it settles down, and I don't feel a danger anymore. And so if I feel danger, then I don't just practice mindfulness and acceptance of it. I will try to avoid the danger if it's possible. I'll try to, like if I'm sitting in meditation and I feel a sense of danger in how I'm sitting, I'll change my posture. But if I don't feel that sense of danger, then I don't. So this pain is also connected to all kinds of deeper systems that are providing information. And so as we begin tuning into this world of pleasure and pain, that itself can feed back onto what we might call consciousness, or the sense we have of awareness. And the sense of awareness and consciousness can take a different shape depending on, you know, I don't know exactly shape is the right word. These are all metaphors for something that doesn't really exist, but we have a kind of a intuitive sense for. And so the consciousness or awareness can feel either contracted or expansive. It can feel tense if there's a lot of pain, and it can feel the pleasure in it and a kind of goodness in it and expands. And so much so that some people feel that consciousness in and of itself has bliss as part of it. And I don't know if it, you know, I don't think it's in and of itself, but as things get simpler and simpler and quieter, and an awareness can tune into these other systems that are working in harmony, the sense of harmony creates pleasure for awareness itself. And so there's many pleasures, the pleasures of sleep, the pleasures of eating, the pleasures of drinking, the pleasures of sex, the pleasures of exercise. All these can provide pleasures, not just the physiological surface pleasure of the moment, but they tap into something deeper within. And maybe a sense of satisfaction and inspiration, something. So this is the pleasure and pain is part of the pieces of this gestalt, this whole, that contributes to our sense of being conscious. And so what I'd like to suggest for you, if you would like, for the next 24 hours, is to give a kind of respectful attention, maybe even reverential attention, to the simple pleasures and pain of daily life, with the assumption that they're not simple. They're just kind of like the tip of a vast inner network, and maybe even interpersonal network, that is somehow being conveyed or carried or evoked by the pleasure and pain. And offering respect to that means make room, feel that. Feel what's going on in some bigger way. Allow yourself to feel that pleasure. Allow yourself to feel the pain, so you can not feel pain or pleasure for itself, but see if it kind of helps you connect to some deeper or fuller dimensions of who you, how your system, how your body-mind works. So, thank you very much, and I look forward to continue on this theme of our attentional faculties tomorrow.